Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home. Some listeners may experience nausea or vomiting while listening to this show. Please consult with your doctor or psychologist before listening to this program. The Ron Van Dam Show is not intended for listeners who have had a history of high blood pressure or acid reflux. Women who are pregnant should stay at least 20 feet away from the radio speaker and should avoid listening to the show for more than 2 hours at any one time. The Ron Van Dam t-shirts should never be worn in conjunction with the Ron Van Dam pants, unless it is after Memorial Day or before Labor Day. But even then, please refrain from loud conversation as this may be disruptive to others nearby who are trying to listen to this program. Your enjoyment of the program may vary. It may vary greatly. Please enjoy the show.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh boy. Why is everything so difficult these days? Things used to be so easy. You just went and did it. Now I can't do anything anymore. Everything's so complicated. Are you interested in this? Yes, I am. Well, then go online, fill out the form, send it. We'll send you a confirmation. Why? I can't. Can't we do this over the phone? What? What's the problem? Why can't you use the phone anymore? I have a question, you answer it, we do the thing, we hang up, we're finished. Why do I have to go online? What the hell's wrong with you with your online stuff? You're making it hard. Every time I try to open an account or register something, it's always something that holds me up, like it won't take it for some reason. Create a password, it's got to have a symbol in it, three capital letters, five letters that don't begin with W, the name of your pet. If your pet was Joe, everything's so stupid. And three numbers have to appear in it, and two uppercase letters, and five lowercase letters, and six no case letters without cases. And don't use your pet's name, and this. Stupid security questions. What was the name of your first shoe? What? What are you talking about? What's your mother's favorite fetish? It's none of your business. I don't know. Well, I think I do. I'm not sure, though. We got security questions. What was your nickname in school that caused you to try to take your life? I mean, stop it. I have literally got over 100 passwords for all different sites because you're not supposed to use the same password for two sites or two whatevers, whatever you call those things. You never use the same password twice. So I have over 100 of them. And then there's, I guess, a service where you can take all your 100 passwords and put them into one in some kind of cloud thing. Then we're going back to the original problem. It's so stupid. I can't. Stop it. I just can't do this anymore. Stop making things so difficult and so complicated. Just talk to me on the phone and get my information and hang up and let's move on with our lives. Oh my God, it's like going to CVS. I mean, we've all been there. I've talked about this before. Why can't I just buy something? Why can't I just go up to the register with the product? put it on the counter. You say, that's $7. Here's $7. All right. Bye. Get out of here. Why do I have to show cards and stuff? Well, do you have your CVS card? What am I, an alien from another country? You're not going to accept my purchase because I don't have a CVS? What the hell's wrong with you? Well, everybody has a CVS card. Oh, really? Everybody? Come on, man. Come on. And then I have to hold up the CVS card. They scan it like I'm going into some FBI, CIA facility here or something. Then I have to, do you want to donate to the organization for the mentally incapacitated? I mean, I don't know them. No, I don't. I would just want to pay for the item and leave. Why are you giving me all these? Do you know your password? It has to begin with a symbol and with a, stop it, stop it. And then they print out a receipt that's like the Dead Sea Scrolls for stuff that I'm never going to buy in the future. And you're like, what the, what? Leave me alone. Just let me buy the thing and leave. I'm coming back in 2 days to return it anyway. I wish I could be that honest. Oh, you're gonna enjoy. You're gonna enjoy this, Mr. Van Damme. This is a great frying pan. Oh, I'm sure I will. I got people coming over tonight. I'll be back tomorrow. I'm gonna return it anyway. What? Yeah. Well, try to stop me. I got my CVS card. What are you gonna do about it? I hate Facebook. I don't loathe it. I hate it. I don't like it. It's awful. It is controlling human beings like robots, all under the guise of free speech. Well, not everything is free speech. You can't politically or otherwise manipulate somebody through manipulation of a video, for example, which is what happened. There's this guy who put a video onto Facebook, and he chopped up a video and made it look like Lindsey Graham was in favor of the environment, which is impossible. Lindsey Graham is a Republican senator, just in case you don't know. So they chop up the video and they edit the hell out of it to make it look like he's siding with Democrats all of a sudden. And it's a very well chopped up edited video. As you know, in a video these days, you can make it look like anything you want it to when it didn't actually happen at all, nothing close to it. So he takes this video, he puts it on Facebook. Facebook actually rejects it, saying, this is obviously chopped up and not real, and you cannot do that. It took a while before Facebook actually did act upon that. So then the guy says to himself, okay, let me just do a little test here. And the guy, he's in California. He goes to whatever town he lives in, and he takes out papers to run for political office in his town. I'm not sure if it was his town or actually for the governor of California, but he takes out papers, which anybody can do, and he now officially becomes a candidate. He takes that same video under his candidate name, and he puts it onto Facebook. Facebook accepts it. Now, this video is a edited lie, and he knows it. He's stating things in it that are totally not true. He's showing video that certainly is not accurate in the least. And Facebook does nothing about it because this guy now officially is running for office. He has a different set of rules on Facebook now. This is acceptable. That's the problem. And employees in Facebook, actually aware of this kind of thing, are actually standing up against their own company, saying, yeah, we work for Facebook, and this is like confusingly awful in here. We don't know how to handle anything, and we're letting things pass that are obviously damaging. Mark Zuckerberg, this is the guy that's, he's probably 80 years old, but he looks like he's 20. This is the guy who has zillions and zillions of dollars, but dresses like a kid in junior high school with ripped jeans and a wrinkled t-shirt. We know you have a lot of money. Why are you dressing like that? What the hell is wrong with you? What's your problem? Go out and buy some pants, Mark. I mean, what are you saying? What are you trying to prove? What's wrong with you? You're a little too laid back, Mark. Anyway, that has nothing to do with it. So Zuckerberg says, look, you know, Facebook, it's free speech, and Facebook is an instrument of free speech. No, you're not, Zuck. You're not an instrument of free speech. You're an instrument of manipulation is what you are. So now this is a big controversy because this California guy actually got away with it just because he had officially took out papers to run for office. So now he can put up any lies he wants. Now, Donald Trump has been doing this infinitum. He takes videos, doctors them up, or actually condones this, and they run on Facebook, and they are actual lies. And Facebook does nothing about it because they say, well, that's freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is to doctor and lie and manipulate? Anyway, with the election coming up, this is becoming a very scary proposition. Very scary proposition. I think Facebook needs to be regulated. CNN recently received a political ad from the Donald Trump Republican organization, and it was a series of lies. I mean, proven lies. Making claims basically about Joe Biden, and actually their lies, and then some. CNN refused to run it, saying, no, we fact-checked this. We can't run lies like this. I mean, it's total political manipulation. We can't air it. They don't have to. There are regulations on this, through the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission. There's nothing that controls Facebook whatsoever, and Facebook is considered to be the major news source for many Americans. Many Americans, like a good majority of them. That's a scary proposition as well. CNN turned it down. Zuckerberg did not. He accepted it. It's cash in hand for you, Mark. Facebook is dangerous not only for political reasons, and it's just a sorry, sorry thing where, Americans don't know what the fuck they're doing. That's the problem. You and I, we know exactly what we're doing. But there's a good chunk of Americans that just see something and take it for gospel immediately. And that's a dangerous thing to do these days. I don't know when it turned out to be dangerous, but it is. Facebook has got to be stopped. I'm not thrilled with it. It's a bunch of crap to begin with. It's people trying to attain a high friendship rating. I have more friends than you do. I have 600 friends. I only have 582. But Carlos in Puerto Rico, I don't know him, but he's a good friend. He's not a good friend. You don't even know who he is. I know his birthday. Oh, God. Oh, my God. If you just step back, this whole Facebook thing is like amazingly ridiculous. Amazingly ridiculous. Oh, God. What the hell's wrong with you? I'm talking about society as a whole. What the hell's wrong with you? What did you do? Society is like a little child with a crayon in its hand, writing on the walls, and then the parents come home. Oh my God, look at the walls. There's crayon. This is, well, it's going to take a year to get this. I have to repaint the whole room. What did you do? What did you do? What did you do? It's the same thing I say to Americans. What did you do? You opened a Pandora's box of crap, and now I have to paint the walls again, and I don't think I have enough paint. What did you do? People commit suicide because of shamed on the internet publicly. More than you know, it's one thing to shame a kid in a schoolyard. It's another thing to shame them publicly to all their friends and the friends of somebody else. And again, I use the word friends loosely. It's awful. It's disseminating wrong information. So you can send a picture of something holding something. Is it so important for you to send a picture of your dog to 500 people who don't know you? Do you get off on that? So that maybe, just maybe, you'll get a like from somebody. Oh, I got a like from someone. I don't know who they are, but they like my dog picture. I like my dog picture. I feel so complete. Well, Ron, it's a way that we can keep in communication with our friends. First of all, they're not your friends. And secondly, who cares? Did you keep in communication with anybody before? Yes, or we would call them or something. Well, why can't you do that now? Why do you have to do it publicly on the internet? Do you ever see those little pop-up ads there on Facebook and everything else that you do on the internet? They know exactly what you went searching for online last night. Now you're going to see ads for that pop up on the side. That's not easy to say. For the next 10 years. Even after you bought the thing that you were looking for, the pop-up ads still come up for the thing that you're looking for, but you don't want to look it for it anymore. Who are you? Doesn't that scare you? That you look for something online and the computer's smart enough to start marketing this item to you and everything that they think you may be interested in because you searched for that item. Doesn't that scare you? Doesn't that concern that concern you that you are being like manipulated and followed and marketed 24/7 in your life? That's why you've got to get out of Facebook. You got to stop it. It's evil. It's playing you. That's my problem, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Americans, you and me, are being played. We are not people. We are items. We are statistics. They are trying to get our money from our wallet or pocketbooks 24/7, bombarding you with ads. And they're not all straightforward ads. Sometimes they're psychological. Sometimes they're playing with you and you don't even know it. Although you tend not to know it anyway. You're being manipulated and played with 24/7. Is that who you want to be? Or are you going to stand up and say, no, I know what's going on. I get it. You can't pull this wool over my eyes. Not you. And not the president who lies to me every time he opens his mouth in an effort to make me believe that your egotism is actually pure genius. I'm not falling for that crap either. Wake up, ladies and gentlemen. Smell the coffee, the roses, whatever you got to smell. Wake up. It's happening to you all the time. Last night, I'm sitting in my living room watching television. I don't watch the commercials. I get up and pee. I pee on purpose, just so I don't have to watch the commercials. Or I'll get something to eat, a little snack, or I'll just walk around the house and make believe that I'm happy. And then when I hear the show come back on that I seem to be somewhat interested in, I'm not going to watch the commercial. I don't even understand half of the commercials on television. I remember them, but I have no freaking idea what the product was. Oh, good marketing there. Television is horrible at marketing stuff. They really are. They really are. I remember the actors in the commercial. I remember the funny lines. Well, what was that? What was the product in that commercial? I don't know. What's the name of the company? I don't know. Am I going to buy auto insurance from you simply because I find your commercials to be humorous? Is that a reason to buy your auto insurance? Because as you know, the key reason that I buy auto insurance from somebody is because they made me laugh in a commercial. The first time, at least. No, that's not why. That's not why. That's not why I'm going to buy auto insurance from you. It's going to be because you're a good established company, your rates are good, not because you have some kind of a lizard standing on a table. I don't see the connection. I don't get it. I don't get it. Therefore, you are not you're not viable to me in the least. Actually, you're a joke. So I'm sitting in my house last night. The phone rings. I pick up the phone. I usually don't. I usually send it right to the do not call button thing. I bought one of these things where if you look on the caller ID, if it's somebody you don't know, you hit the red button and it's automatically blocked. I got one of those. I don't think it really works necessarily, but it's really satisfying to hit a red button. I don't know. I'm a simple man. Walk around hitting red buttons and I figure now I'm good. But I decide not to do that. I pick up the phone and it's a recording. And the first thing they say is, don't hang up. Oh, God, here we go. Don't hang up. Hi, how are you? Don't hang up. They say, don't hang up. This is the Social Security Office of the United States government. And then I hang up because I kind of know as an intelligent human being, the Social Security Department of the United States doesn't call me at 7:30 at night on the phone. As a matter of fact, they don't call me at all. They send me something through the mail, often registered, but they don't send me emails, and they don't call me on the phone. So I am being scammed for sure 24/7, and I'm a fairly intelligent person, and I threw the word fairly in because I want to be fair about that. But there are teenagers and young adults that are really incredibly stupid. And then there are seniors who are extremely gullible, and they're being preyed upon more than us intelligent people in the middle. This is a life that we spend dodging people that are trying to screw us. I do not remember this growing up. I don't remember having to run a slalom course away from people that are trying to screw me somehow, trying to take my money, trying to extort information from me. I must constantly dodge them and be aware of them. I must always be on the defensive. What kind of freaking life is that? Don't answer the phone. Don't give them too much information on the internet or any information at all. Don't believe everything that you read or see or hear. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Go through life dodging everything? I've talked about this before. When we were growing up, we were told by our parents and by your religious organization, whether it be a church, synagogue, or whatever, we were told people are good. There is good in everybody. And trust them. Trust people. No. No. I don't know why you told me that. Only so you could break it later on. Don't trust people. That's why we don't get into anybody's car. Oh, wait a minute. Now there's Uber. You will never, ever find me in an Uber. I will never get into somebody's car whom I don't know, where they can lock the doors and take me wherever they want. That usually doesn't happen, but it could. And I will never, ever, ever become an Uber driver or a Lyft driver, whatever you call those stupid companies. Strangers are not getting in my car. They're just a moment away from throwing up in my back seat because they're inebriated, or smelling like a stinky gym locker, or anything. I don't have strangers in the back of my car. I'm not going to be an Uber driver. Let's take that part of it and leave it for people that kind of haven't figured this out yet. Well, Ron, I've been an Uber driver and an Uber passenger for over a year now, and nothing's ever happened to me.
Oh, okay. Good for you.
Maybe the next time you get in one, it will.
Spend my whole life dodging things, ladies and gentlemen. Look out, look out for that, look out for that, look out for that, look out for that. Generations of people before us did all they could not to give out their private information. Always.
I remember when I got my first credit card. Ron, never give out your number. Destroy all the receipts. Now, I buy something online and my computer says to me, a non-entity says to me, do you want me to save your credit card information?
No. God, no.
People sending pictures of themselves naked with their private parts showing. And we send it over the internet. What the hell's wrong with you? Do you think you're never going to need to get a job? Do you think nobody looks up on your Facebook page or checks your background to find out that you're weird? Your beliefs are spelled out on your Facebook page. Your connections, your friends, pictures of the tattoo on your pussy. I don't know if that's feasibly possible, but it's a good example anyway. Close-up pictures of your butt plug that got stuck and you had to have a doctor remove it. That's all on Facebook, man. It's all your personal information. Well, tell me everything about yourself personally. Okay, I'll tell you and the entire world.
You're not supposed to do that. Generations were preventing their information from being leaked. I didn't even know how old my mother was until she got older and I had to start taking care of her. I had no concept how old she was. She wouldn't tell me her age. Women didn't do that. How old are you, lady?
Oh, no. You never ask a woman her age. Now we do this with Facebook? All the information you could possibly want about somebody? Now you can actually go on to websites, pay them a little bit of money, and they'll go into someone's criminal history, where they've lived, their addresses, their ages, their phone numbers, their contacts, everything you want to know about them, their documents, you name it. A little bit of money, you can buy that online. Too much information. Spend our lives dodging things. Don't go there. Don't do that. Oh, don't tell them that. Don't do this. They're trying to get you. They're politically trying to brainwash you. They're trying to sell you something. They're trying to scare you into doing this. They're trying to scare you into getting your personal information so they can hack you and take your identity. Phew, it's weird. All right, I've talked way too long. My guest today is Dr. Julie Gassa. She's been on the show before. She has an idea about how she thinks you can stay healthier. I don't endorse anything. I don't say it's good. I don't say it's bad. I put it out there. You know, she can talk all she wants, and it may actually help you or not. I don't know. That's my disclaimer right there. That was my disclaimer. But anyway, she's a interesting and fine woman. We talk to her now. Dr. Julie Gassa joins us now. She you're out of Florida, is that correct?
Yes, exactly.
She's a chiropractor and does, but she's really into health. She's a health expert is what she is. And she approaches many subjects that make our lives better without popping pills and all and doing all that stuff. So thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Now, today we're going to talk about candida. To be honest with you, not too sure what that is.
All right. Well, you and just about everyone
there
else. However, it affects me, probably you and just about everyone else, unbeknownst to you.
Okay.
Candida is actually an overgrowth of yeast in the digestive system. You're supposed to have a normal balance of bacteria and yeast and it lives in harmony, and each of them do their own thing, and it benefits the body.
Yeah.
But what occurs is when the bacteria aren't keeping in balance, the yeast overgrows. This can occur from people being on any type of antibiotic, because antibiotics don't wipe out just the lung infection. Antibiotics will wipe out the bacteria in your digestive tract as well. So even one course of antibiotics can cause a yeast overgrowth.
How frequent is a yeast overgrowth, even if you're not on antibiotics?
It's common because of our food source. I see it a lot. You know, it's not so easily measured by a lab test, but I see a lot of symptoms that mimic, you know, exactly what candida is. So to me, it really is candida. So it's our food source is not so great, our poor diets, stressors, surgeries, you know, things like this. Mm. We all have some type of symptoms. And when I start listing them, you're going to go, oh, boy, that does sound like me.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're so common.
You don't even have to list them. I think everybody I know has digestive problems, including myself, and all different types of reactions to all different things, but nothing seems to go down just easy anymore. I don't know if that's an age thing. Does it get worse as age goes on?
I mean, yes, your digestion can, the yeast can, but you know, it's mostly because the problem's not been handled. So the longer it goes unhandled, the least, you know, the less efficient your body is.
Okay. And what can happen if you don't pay attention to this kind of thing?
Well, you know, the obvious symptoms that people, you know, don't want to talk about, but they do experience are having the vaginal yeast infections, jock itch, toe fungus. Those things are all, you know, sort of underlying having any type of a yeast overgrowth. And then the things that people aren't aware of are itchy skin, fatigue, sleeplessness, brain fog, skin problems of all kinds, bloating, hormonal imbalance, and it's all because the digestive system is not optimal, and you've got this overgrowth that's occurring.
Sounds like you just got a hold of my medical chart.
Seriously,
I mean, my God. Now you're like Alexa. You're scaring me. It's like you know too much. Okay. I try to eat properly. Of course, it doesn't always work, but at the same time, I feel like it's us against them. Like I'm being, the only thing I can really buy are things that are out of balance.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's true. You know, the best thing that I would say for people is if you're trying to handle this yeast problem or even suspect you might have it, there is a herb that is only native to New Zealand, and it's called the horopito plant. And this horopito plant will actually kill off yeast colonies. So it's put into a pill form. It's called Colorex, K-O-L-O-R-E-X. And when you take one Colorex a day for a month, it pretty much establishes the normalcy back into the digestive tract. The yeast gets, you know, the clusters of the yeast gets, you know, dying off and killed off. The bacteria can recolonate, and the body goes, So we're talking all, you know, weird funguses and toe fungus and athlete's foot and things like this are underlying the digestive system. So that's where you actually start. And then secondary is you do want to eliminate the sugars because yeast lives off of sugar. And a lot of times you'll eat a meal and then say, wow, I just need something sugary. Or, you know, middle of the day, you'd rather have sugar than a meal. It's often a yeast telling that because it needs it to grow. So you think it's just you have low willpower.
Yeah, and now welcome to the holidays, you know, where it's all like flashed in front of your face 24 hours a day. That's a tough one. There's a lot of psychological toughness that has to go with it.
That's a perfect way to put it. Wow. It's psychological toughness to get through the holidays not feeling lousy and overeating.
Although I guess that when you do learn how to feel good, even when you're eating and walking around, then that's a pretty good payoff and a pretty good carrot at the end of the rope. Is that a proper analogy? I don't even know what that means.
Yes, I think so. I mean, that is really what I'm going for. We do live on a planet that has lots of yummy things to, you know, consume, lots of holidays. But, you know, in between, if you know some of the very basics, you can, you know, have a tendency to flub and have some fun and, you know, and then you get back on it and you go, oh, wow, all right, that was fun. But, boy, I don't want to feel that way all the time. So, you know, if I'm doing that, it's a couple of days to recover and then I feel fine again.
Yeah. Now this natural item that you mentioned, anybody's reaction would be, is it safe?
Yes, it's very safe. I've put, you know, little children on it who have been suffering with yeast problems from being on antibiotics. Uh-huh. And they also have different types of creams for foot fungus and, uh-huh. and you know, intimate care creams for, you know, the females. I mean, my daughter had a urinary tract infection yeah. for on and off for about 6 months. Yep. And it was driving me crazy because yep. I usually can fix these things.
Yeah.
And when I finally put her on the Colorex, she has not had any of this for over a year now.
Cool.
And all she did was 1 month's time of the Colorex, and she had a bit of an imbalance, and it was causing a whole other symptom that we weren't, you know, connecting the dots.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to know. Now, how can people follow you, Dr. Julie? Because we've talked so many times, and you focus on these kinds of things, on the normal things we put up with, but we don't seem to do anything about when there are natural things that are right in front of us. yeah. So how do we follow all of this?
Well, if they have any interest in asking any questions or giving my clinic a call, they're welcome to. Uh-huh. We can field any questions for them. That's 727-725-4445, and mm-hmm. it's the Florida Wellness Institute.
Cool.
And if they're interested in following up on this Colorex and finding out if it's going to help them, I mean, heck, it's a one-month supply, and it can do a bang-up job in a one-month's time. They can get onto the website, which yeah. is naturessources.com, and they can find out about the Colorex and all the associated products with that. Or they can call the 1-800 number, which is 1-800-827-7656. And if they use the code radio, they'll give you 20% off your first order.
Very cool. Wow.
Yeah, it's great. I love this stuff. It's changed the face of my practice. The one thing I can say is trying to treat a yeast or a candida patient for the 28 years that I've been in practice, yeah. the past few years that I've used the Colorex, it has become pretty much a simple project. It used to be 6 months to a year to correct this problem in the past, and now it's a 1 to 2 month situation, and it's done.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time. I know we're going to talk again, so I mean, you know, I'll see you soon. But thanks a lot. Yeah, go to the website one more time. That website.
It's naturessources.com.
Okay.
And it's a 1-800 number, which is 1-800-827-7656.
Okay. Or you can Google Dr. Julie. Last name is G-A-T-Z-A. And,
you got it. Yeah, you can look me up there or mm-hmm. the Florida Wellness Institute website.
Oh, wonderful. Hey, always good to talk to you. We'll talk again soon, and have a great day.
Thanks. You as well. Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, this has been an interesting show nonetheless. I'm running late for an appointment, so I've got to go. I'm actually not. I just thought that would be fun to say. Makes me feel important. Ron, what? No, I got an appointment. I got to go. I got things to do. I've got a life. I've got to go. I don't, though. Have yourselves a wonderful day. You're just great. I'll be back again tomorrow. Will you join me then? I promise I'll be good tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace.